Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to today's call. My name is James Larson. I'm with Live Free Fellowship, and joining me is Mr. Bill Way, the CEO of Live Free Fellowship, who has over 30 years of experience in the break room vending space. He's also a Wall Street Journal number one best-selling author. You may have heard of his book, Vending Success Secrets. That's in its third edition now. And then his up-and-coming book, Micromarkets, is also definitely going to rock your world. So make sure you get a hold of both copies. And today we're going to talk about micromarket vending and just kind of give you a background on Bill's experience, our knowledge, and what we see with the industry. And again, Bill's, you know, very well known. He's had a lot of success. He's really the key component to, you know, making this our business model work, where we've been successfully helping folks just like yourself since 2019 in the micromarket vending space. But I know he's got much more experience in vending prior to that as well. And I'll let him talk in a moment. But yeah, I just wanted to, you know, kind of bring on Bill and let you guys hear from him directly. And so, Bill, yeah, please jump on the call. Again, thank you for your time. We really appreciate it. I know you've got a wealth of knowledge and information to share.
Well, hey, thank you, James. What a wonderful introduction. I really appreciate you, my friend. James has been one of my – he's been the top guy, the most senior guy in the company for years, and he's just been a rock star in the industry for so many years. I don't even know how many years, but you're lucky to be working with James if you are, and we have a great team here. Before we go any further, I just want to say that in my entire business career, which is, spans my entire life, I have never found a business opportunity more exciting than what we're doing right here. Let me briefly explain what the opportunity is. So having been in break room vending over 30 years, I noticed trends. And about 10 years ago, we were seeing this micro market start to develop, but they were all in large companies with over 500 employees. So, and there's only about 32,000 companies with that many employees. And there's about 26,000 companies that already have a micro market, or what we might call an automated convenience store, in their break room. The trend is clear, and that's not the opportunity. There's too much competition for what's left there. But what I saw is that there are over 2 million locations with 50 to 500 employees, and they were not being served. Nobody had a payment system that was viable to work in the smaller businesses. And they also wanted the micro market. So what we did is, it took a couple years to develop, but we came out with a payment system that works for that market. And that's the key to the whole system. So we provide the payment system and the equipment and the training and the branding and locating assistance and all the help you need to get rocking and rolling in the business.
I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, kind of who this business is for, and also the, you know, some of the benefits to this benefit, you know, to this business. And you know, really this is a business for, you know, for entrepreneurs, you know, obviously people that are, you know, have that mindset, you know, want to be their own boss. They want to create more financial freedom. And I talk with people every day, and a lot of people are business owners, or they've owned businesses in the past. But what they're, you know, what appeals to them about what we're doing is the, you know, the ability to create a truly passive income, you know, a business where they don't have to be there every day. They don't have to, you know, monitor employees and, you know, something they can, you know, definitely set up and operate. But, you know, we tend to attract a lot of folks that are really looking for something that is, you know, somewhat turnkey, where it, obviously there's work involved here, but it's not a business where they need to be there every single day of the week. And also it's something that they can scale up to whatever level. We've got folks that come here that are, you know, just looking to create some supplemental income. And we've got folks that are coming here looking to replace their income. And we've got opportunities for people, you know, to start it with three markets to create an additional 52,000 annual net profit or more with three markets, or all the way up to 10 markets where, you know, we've got folks starting at that level too that are, you know, generating upwards of 178,000 annual profit. So it's really, this is a business for people that, you know, want to create more, and also something that they could, you know, potentially scale up It's something that they can, you can operate on a part-time basis. It's, you know, we don't expect people to leave their current profession or job unless they want to. And but quite frankly, we have a lot of people going into what we're doing, and I know we've had a lot of success stories. And so anyways, that's kind of what we're all about, is helping people create more passive income, create more freedom financially, and, you know, live the type of lives where they don't have to go to a business every day of the week. They can, you know, once this business is operational and set up and in companies, it's mainly a service call once a week, and a lot of folks will even outsource that and just manage this from afar, so to speak. So one of the major things that people always are concerned about is the importance of finding good locations, and that's something that is very key to this business. And how are we able to help people find good locations? Because I know that's important. Everyone I talk to wants to know about that. How are you guys?
Yep, yeah. That's on everybody's mind. Great question. That's one of the most important questions to ask. Everybody asks that question, and you might think that locations could be a problem, and of course they would be. If we couldn't get enough locations, there'd be a problem, but the fact is there's so many that we're just overwhelmed with them. We have over 2 million locations we've identified in the United States, and we have no competition that we know of after 3 years of rolling these out. We've got less than 1,000 markets that we've set up so far, and it's a big United States with over 2 million locations. So we have a process. We have a cookie-cutter approach to getting locations, and several different ways we go about it, depending on your needs, your time, and so on. So, for example, we have a direct mail program that's very effective. We build a list of businesses that are meet our specifications, so we already know they're large enough and they're the type of business that we would like a market in their break room. And then we send them a four-color postcard, and we get good response from that. We get locations from that. Another way is our website and our SEO. We become findable on the Internet when anybody's searching for vending services and they don't know that they can have break room with a micro market, so they get excited when they see that. We get locations coming in from the websites that we build for you or that you can have built for yourself. And also we have people in the field. We have a gentleman named Joseph who we've worked with for well over 30 years. He's an independent, but you have the option of hiring him, and he comes out to you and he trains you in place and gets locations and helps you with the whole process. And what he does is he trains you to not ever need him again. He has a philosophy that if you teach a person to fish, you feed him for a lifetime, right? Where if you give him a fish, you feed him for a day. So he's not coming out to just get your locations. He's coming out to give you a system and a strategy for long-term locating, ongoing locations, so that you can do it yourself and that you'll have a stream of people coming to you asking for locations and a waiting list for more locations. So when you have equipment, you can add, you can just go to your waiting list.
We've got, you know, everything from a direct mail marketing to a professional like Joseph to really help people, you know, get the locations. And it, you know, like you said, it first starts with identifying those locations, and we're using we have access to a national database where we can create these targeted list of businesses. So we know we can get very, you know, very pinpointed on what types of companies we want to, contact. We can eliminate certain types of businesses like restaurants and grocery stores, things of that nature. We can target specific size companies, and we're able to, identify and, the right companies, because that's an important part of the process here. In order to, you know, get the best locations, is you have to first, you know, identify the right companies to market to. And then what we're offering these companies is a free service. It doesn't cost them anything. The money is made in the sales of the snacks and drinks. And so it's really not that tough of a process. And I know a lot of people I talk to every day, are concerned about it. But also, again, we're offering a free service. So it's really just a matter of getting in front of enough companies and offering them this free service. And you offer this free service to enough companies, you're going to get a percentage of those people that are going to want to help a micro market in their business. And what we're doing here too, this is not a new concept, by the way. A lot of people, I speak with don't have no idea of the nature of this business and the fact that micro markets have been in operation in businesses with over 500 employees since 2011. And at present time, there's already over 23,000 of these micro market locations in the U.S. in 2017. This segment of vending generated close to $1 billion in sales. But, don't just take my word for it. Do your own research, too. And part of what we provide is articles that go into great detail about the micro market industry and quote some statistics and numbers. And if you do any research at all, you'll find that this is a multi-billion-dollar industry that has grown exponentially since 2014. And it's predicted to just continue to grow and evolve. Anything that you want to add to that, Bill?
Well, just that not only has it already been growing exponentially, but our niche is growing exponentially because, to the best of our knowledge, we still have no competition. So in that niche of 50 mm-hmm. to 500 employees, it's very profitable. And if you owned a business and you had a break room, wouldn't you rather have a nice automated market than a vending machine? I mean, you have the option of offering fresh foods. We have so many more options and selections, and it's so much more convenient. So it's just a no-brainer. Any business that understands what we offer wants it. So locations are plentiful. They really are plentiful.
Some people don't know what a micro market is. It's basically a mini 7-Eleven store. We'll put in a company break room, and they're, if you've ever bought a snack or a drink at the airport with it's an open cooler concept, and it allows the vendors to offer a much larger variety and selection of items. With traditional vending machines, you're very limited. You're limited by what mm-hmm. you can fit in that coil, and a lot of people. A lot of people, when they're servicing their traditional vending machines, don't realize how much work it is to put products in those little coils. And with the micro market, it's an open cooler concept, and it's a lot more variety and selection, and we can offer a lot more, and it's just much more appealing to folks than having to put money into a vending machine and hope they get out what they put their money in for, and hope it's not an expired product. So on and so forth. So there's definitely a lot of advantages, a lot of reasons why micro markets are, really, really the wave of the future. I know I get a lot of people that ask me all the time, this is in a private company break room, but do you have people stealing, taking things? Can you talk about kind of what we've done or what we do to kind of prevent that?
Well, sure. Well, that's important. So here's the way. First of all, look at it this way. Before we even get into the details, the very fact that there's over 23,000 markets operating in businesses with over 500 employees, it works. So anyone could assume there's solutions. You just don't know yet what they are. It's not a problem. In the industry overall, we count on about 2% shrinkage, that's the average. That shrinkage is any money lost to either error or theft or spoilage. So 2% is a pretty low number. It's something we price in. We actually suggest budgeting a 5% for shrinkage, and it'd be very unlikely to ever go over that. But the main reason that we don't have an issue with shrinkage is that we put them in businesses where we have a captive audience. I mean, the only employees have access, not the general public. So they have a vested interest in seeing the market continue to operate. They don't want it taken out because of a problem. So we make sure they know that it's important to pay accurately, and they know that. Another thing we do that's optional but I recommend is we affiliate with a major national charity. So, for example, if we're already budgeting 5% for shrinkage, I would rather pay that to a charity than just to have a shrinkage or loss. So we offer a charity, say the National Children's Cancer Society, 5% per month less any shrinkage or shortages. So we tell that to the location, that, and we put a sticker on the market that has a picture of a cute kid, and it says, this market supports Children's Cancer Society. And then we let them know that. So if there's any issue, we go to the management and we say, hey, you know, last month we couldn't send a full check to Children's Cancer. We'd like to send them 5%, but we can only send them 2% because we have 3% shrinkage. See, we take the three, we take the three from the five. Once stated in that way, the we just ask the management to, hey, talk to your people and tell them to be more careful about paying because we need to make sure we give the maximum donation to the Children's Cancer. So the employees understand that if they're shorting us, they're really shorting the kids, not us. And we don't use the word steal, we use the word short. We assume they made a mistake. We don't call them thieves, right? So we just say to be careful about paying accurately. And honestly, it's much better to have some shrinkage than to invest tens of thousands of dollars in steel boxes called vending machines just to make theft impossible. Because, you know, you've got a much lower ROI. You spend all that money and then you've got lower sales. And with this, our system, you have a much lower startup cost and much higher sales, so we can afford a little bit of shrinkage. It's just no big deal. We just price it in as a cost of doing business. This is something everybody learns right away once you get set up and operational, and it's something new people question because they just don't understand the business. But if you think about it, it makes perfect sense. What do you think, James?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, people, if they're going to invest into a traditional vending machine, the equipment is typically more expensive than a micromarket, which consists of a cooler, some shelving, and a payment system. So it's a, you know, in terms of your initial investment, it's much more of an investment to invest in a secure box, so to speak. And then also the problem with a traditional vending machine is that you're very limited on what you can sell and offer. And you know, most people, when they're on break at work, they don't run to the vending machine. Using a vending machine, it's more that's their last resort. You know, they have nothing else. But with a micromarket, because we're able to offer larger variety and selection of items and healthy items, and it's a, you know, just a much better concept, much more visually appealing, and people can get the product a lot quicker and easier due to our payment system. And, you know, we can talk more about that, but it's just a much, you know, it's just a much more, you know, user-friendly experience. And I know that the bottom line really is the sales. The sales, I know we've had people that have replaced or, you know, sold their traditional machines and replaced them with micromarkets, and their sales increase significantly by, you know, up to 300% sometimes. So that's really the bottom line. You got to look at, you know, if you have to spend a little bit more money, so to speak, on security, or you could even put a fake camera in there. You know, a lot of companies do have cameras in their break rooms nowadays, but, you know, even if there's a location you were concerned about, and even a fake camera that lights up a point to the market is going to really deter the majority of folks. And again, these are people that go there day in and day out, and they work for a company, and they understand that if they're caught stealing in the workplace, they can lose their job. And quite frankly, most people in today's society are not really wanting to risk losing their job to steal a sandwich or a bag of chips or a soda. So we really, I know the shrinkage is definitely, we have listed 5%, you know, kind of allocated towards that on our spreadsheet, but I know it's much less than that. Anything else you'd like to share on that, Bill?
I think you've covered that well. Let's just add a little bit about payment systems real quick, because when we started out with this, we tested a lot of payment systems, and a lot of people think, well, this has a kiosk, because a lot of people have seen these payment kiosks somewhere, airports or something. Well, sure, we could have a kiosk, but we've learned, first of all, a kiosk costs about $5,000, so it adds to your startup cost substantially. Each kiosk, and every time you add a kiosk, you create a line. We don't want lines. We want people to be able to pay fast and get on with their day. If people are waiting in line, sales go down because they don't have time. So with the app-based payment system, everybody pays with their phone. We could literally process 50 or 100 sales at the exact same moment, and they would all process. So you have 30, 40, 50 people on break at the same time. They can all make their purchases and go back to work or whatever they want to do. So we don't put in kiosks for those reasons. Kiosks cost money. They don't make money.
People don't want to wait in line. We're an instant society, and if they're able to get their product quickly and easily, that's going to increase the sales drastically. And that's exactly, and that's something that's very, very unique about us. It makes us different, compared to other, micro market vending folks, is with our app-based payment system that allows multiple users to purchase product at the same time. So we could have 20 people on break at the same time simultaneously purchasing product within the app. This is a huge, huge component to increasing sales. And one of the things that really, I believe, helps us, stand out and increase sales for our vendors and versus a kiosk type of a setup, which is, better than a traditional vending machine, but definitely does not eliminate the lines. And so that's really, I think that's a huge, huge thing. And I don't know if there's anything else you want to talk about on that subject, Bill, but I think we've covered it pretty well.
The only thing is some people question how the app works. Well, that's not important to get down into understanding exactly how the app works. What's important to understand is it's simple. So when we set this up in a business, we typically, you can do whatever you want, but we like to offer a $5 coupon that says if the employee downloads the app and starts using it within 5 days or so, that will give them a $5 discount. Or we can program $10, whatever you want. It doesn't really cost you much because your food cost is so much less than that. And then it just shows them, it gets them going. It primes the pump. It gets them seeing how easy it is to use. So it is easy. And then once they have it downloaded, they just link it to a credit card, and it automatically charges the card. And they have complete control over it, so nobody ever has a problem with it, and it's easy. On that same note, when we're talking to a new location about that's considering getting set up with these markets, we say, they have a lot of questions, and we just typically sell it to them based on a free trial. Just try it out, right, for a week or two or three or a month. You give them a chance to they can cancel at any time. Just try it out, because we can't possibly explain everything to their satisfaction. Nobody ever, to the best of my knowledge, nobody has ever taken a market and then asked us to take it out later. Once they get it in the door, they want to keep it. So the marketing objective is just to get it in the door under almost any pretense that's ethical, and they love it.
If you haven't visited our website,
Healthy Smart Market,
we've had a lot of success stories and a lot of people utilizing our system. And part of what, makes our system so good is your knowledge, Bill. And you provide people with a step-by-step process on doing things. And if you haven't visited our website, I definitely encourage you to do so, because on our website, you'll be able to hear from or read testimonials. Our website is healthysmartmart.com, and really see exactly what our markets look like. And hear directly from some of our vendors that we've worked with in regards to, their success. Now, one of the things you'll find on our website too is a lot of people raving about our professional locator, Joseph, who, like I said, he's been doing this for years. I encourage people to do that, because again, that's so important to get good quality locations. That's a key. Foundational piece to your business. And I know we've got direct mail marketing that we've, work with a company that's been doing that for over 20 years, and they get great results too. So we've got a variety of techniques to really help people get their locations. And we've even had people just go into a business with a business card and a website and a little bit of training from you, Bill, and have even, gotten businesses to, on their own, but
right.
So I know that it's not a hard
Let me just interject real quick on that note. It's easy if you just follow the training. We have training. Anybody can do it without needing to do direct mail, without needing to hire Joseph or anything. So I have on the team, we have a retired chiropractor who did nothing more than print business cards and went out and talked to the businesses on the list we gave him. And he got all he needed, four locations, got them all within a couple of weeks. It's just not difficult. It's easy. It's simple and it's easy.
Yeah, a lot of people are concerned about getting good locations, and I have this question a lot too. Or what if I get a location and it's, doesn't work out, doesn't pan out, and part of the reason that we don't have that problem is because of the research and the development and the targeted lists we provide to people. And before you ever move equipment into a company, you've already met the owners, you've seen the site, and you know exactly how many employees are showing up every day. I mean, we can provide information on whatever information we need on that business through our national database. We have access. So really, you know, the work that goes into creating these targeted lists and the preliminary work is so important, which obviously we've been doing this for a while. And, you know, that's part of our expertise is really to create these targeted lists. And really, so when, you know, you put a market in a company, before you do that, you're going to know so much about the company and have met the owners, and you're going to have a really good feel. So that's why we really don't have issues with people not getting good locations or having to move locations or anything of that nature. That's kind of part of the process here that allows us to, you know, to help you have the most success possible quickly and easily, so you can create a passive income. And again, this is a business where the work mostly is up front in the beginning, right? Getting operational, getting in these companies. But once you're in a company, then let's talk more about that. A lot of people want to know, well, how many hours per week after I'm in a company, what am I going to need to go ongoing? In terms of that, is there anything, before we move on to that, Bill, is there anything else you'd like to add or talk about in regards to that?
You did a very good job. You did a very good job. The first location is the hardest, and after that, it gets much easier because, for one thing, you start getting referrals. Think about it this way: just to pick an example, in the break room of State Farm Insurance, and they're in a big office building. Next thing you know, their neighbors are hearing about it. They're coming over and seeing it. Their employees are talking about it to other people that work at other companies. And then you start getting people, businesses calling you, asking if you can place one in their business. And plus, when you have one operational, you can send people over to look at it, and so on and so forth. So it just gets easier and easier and easier. People can start with however many they want. There's some economy of scale. If you start with a couple, it's going to cost more per location, and your ROI would be lower than if you start with more. The higher the number, the lower the cost, and the higher the ROI. But the main thing is to start, because it's so immensely profitable that once you see the money, you'll want to expand as quickly as you can. Nobody wants to go into anything thinking about failing or what they're going to do if they quit. We tend to what we focus on expands. We don't want to focus on that. But in the situation where you give it a fair try and you find out it's just not for you, what do? Well, we don't want anybody stuck with something they don't want. So we help people liquidate when that's the situation. And because it's commercial equipment, it's not returnable to the suppliers that we work with. But what nor is it practical to ship it to different locations. But we found easy, and what I've done for over 10 years is we help you resell the equipment where it is. So if you've got them in locations, we just resell the locations, and if you've got some of it in storage, we can resell it in storage. So all the details on that is in an email that's titled resale agreement, or it's not typically a money back guarantee in terms of the money doesn't come from us like it would if you returned a TV to Amazon. What it is we help you liquidate so you can exit. Whenever we've had somebody ask us to do that, we always get it sold, and we always get it sold at full price. We don't ever negotiate the price or discount the price. So it's not a problem. There's a big market for this equipment, and we already make a market for them. So we can either help you sell them yourself, or we can do it for you. So we're happy to help you in that situation. But it's best not to focus on it, because you're not going to go there. You're going to be successful.
That's the right attitude to have. And then this is something that is in place kind of we don't want people really focusing on it so much, because, you know, honestly, if they do what we teach them how to do, it's really a simple business, right? And if you're in a part of the country where you have a good number of businesses in your vicinity, and you're offering this to a company at no charge, and you're offering to set this up in their company break room and service them and you know, provide, you know, snacks and drinks on an ongoing basis for the company and their, you know, and their employees. I mean, most business owners are pretty open to that, right? So again, it's not a, it's, I have to remind people, it's really not a hard sell with what we do. There's some things that have to take place. And I know that, you know, I know we get people every week. I talk to at least one person a week that will contact us and say, you know, well, do you have any existing locations that are already operational that I could just buy from you right now? And I know we get a lot of those kind of calls. And you know, a lot of times people think that buying a business with existing locations is a better investment than starting up and getting the locations. Can you speak to that, Bill, in terms of, you know, the pros and cons, the difference between existing locations versus working with us? And yeah.
Well, sure. Well, first of all, if you we don't typically find people with established markets that they want to sell because they're making a lot of money and they don't want to sell them. There's not really any on the market. And if there were, they would be very pricey. Typically, an established business will sell for 2 to 3 times the annual gross profit. And that is way more than what it costs to start a new market from scratch. I wouldn't do it. Knowing what I know and knowing what you'll soon know about how to set up and start a market, you would just go start your own market. You wouldn't want to buy an established one. Why pay that kind of money? Then your ROI is way lower. It doesn't make any sense to me to do that.
And by the way,
the numbers that we put in our profit illustrations are real numbers that come from the data you just mentioned. And they're very conservative in our experience. But actually, micro markets typically do about 3 times better than vending machines. And most of that data comes from vending. So we're using the numbers for vending, but the micro markets are typically higher than that. And then after you get operational, we have other profit centers we can add to increase the revenue even further. But we won't get into that now.
Let's just talk about next steps then.
Okay. Let me start by saying that
the number one cause of failure is quitting. So think about that. Get started and resolve not to quit. Number two is wealthy people get started. Broke people are always getting ready to get started and thinking about getting started and analyzing getting started. Wealthy people get started. You get started, you don't have to have every single, you got to do some due diligence, but you don't have to have every single answer. You get started and then you dial it in as you go. That's what I've always done in my business career, and all wealthy people do that. So getting started is key. We don't care how big you get started. You could start small or start big. We don't care. We want the right people to get started, and when you see the money, you'll expand quickly. We know that. So it's not important to us that you get, you know, we're not trying to sell you a big package so we can make a lot of money or anything. We want the right people to expand this concept. Now, you will make more money if you start larger, but that's your decision. Getting started is key. I would decide when you feel like you have enough information, get started and don't overthink it.
Yeah, 100%, Bill. And I think that, you know, with this type of business that we're in, we're a little different. You know, I do talk with people every day, and some people are looking for something right away, then they get started and get profitable and operational. And there's some people that are just kicking tires and want to wait 6 months to a year. Now, I always tell folks, because I know with this, our business, the way we work is we do have a limit to the amount of vendors we're able to bring into each region. I know we typically will market pretty aggressively in a region for several months, but it's not going to be forever. And once we have a certain amount of vendors, we at some point will have to cut it off. So I just encourage people, if you're looking at this, if you're listening to this now, do your homework now. Do your research now. Make your decision sooner than later, because if you decide this is something that you want to do, you believe will help you get to the next level to create more passive income, whether you want to supplement your income, replace your income, again, we can help you get there, whatever level you want to, where you want to participate at, you know, anywhere from 3 to 10 markets. But the thing is don't wait on it too long, because I know that, you know, we've had some people that, you know, waited too long and they've kind of missed out on the opportunity. It's always better to be on the front end in a new area than wait till the last, you know, be the last person. So definitely, if this is something you're seriously considering, read and review every email we sent you and get back to us, get back to me, and let's set up a call for an informational interview and talk more about what's important to you and you know, let us help you create better results, create more passive income, create more financial freedom, and you know, put yourself in a position where if you wanted to retire early or transition out of what you're currently doing, you're going to have more options to do so. You know, don't wait too long.
Well, very good. And the biggest reason not to wait is because every day you wait, you're losing income that you could have had. And the other thing is the area you want could be gone. That's just the reality of the situation. And I should comment briefly on our growth. Right now, we have been rolling these out really at a discounted price just to get a lot of momentum going and a lot of people started. The prices to get started are abnormally low. They're lower than they should be. And when my next book comes out, Micro Markets, Profit from the Automated Convenience Store Boom, it's about to release. And when it does, our prices are going to go up also. So it's not going to get better or easier or cheaper if you wait. It's going to get more expensive and your area could be gone and so on. So that's just the facts. And lastly, I want to just point out that we are not a sales organization. We're a consulting organization. So what we do is we build long-term relationships with people that we basically think of you as our partner, because we really are in a sense. We want to work with people that we can grow with. So nobody here is going to push you to make a decision. It's all on you to decide when you're ready. We just try to encourage you to make good decisions and help you the best we can. And James, you're a pro at that. You're the best.
Well, thank you, Bill. I appreciate that compliment, and I appreciate you too for all that you do. And I know that, you know, we've made many improvements, and you continue to refine and evolve, and you're on the cutting edge in terms of this industry. Definitely grateful that for your knowledge, your experience, and the fact that you're always you're such an innovator in this industry.
Well, thank you.
I see some hands raised. I realize some of you may need to go, but if you can stay around a few more minutes, we're going to take at least one or two questions. But for those of you that do need to leave, let's wrap it up and then hang around a few more minutes if you can. James?
If you've listened to this call today and taken the time, then let's talk about your next steps. Definitely, we want you to, you know, do your homework, read and review all the information we're going to send your way. But most importantly, book a call and let's have a chat. Let's talk about what's important to you and how we can potentially help you and put yourself in a position to, you know, create a different financial picture for yourself, whether it's creating more, you know, passive income, whether you want to replace your income, supplement it, whatever it is. Get up back to us, book a call as soon as possible, and we'll definitely, I'm happy to spend some time with you on the phone and explain more, talk about possibilities, look at your area more in depth. Again, if we're marketing your area, if you're listening to this call, there's opportunity, but don't wait too long, because the longer you wait, the less the opportunity is going to be there. Unfortunately, that's just the nature of our business. So thank you for your time. Appreciate everyone that has listened to this call, because I know your time is valuable and important, so we appreciate your time.
I encourage everyone to get back with your rep, make a call, text, or schedule an appointment using the link we gave you, and have a conversation. Get your questions answered.
We're looking forward to working with you. I'm looking forward to talking with each of you personally and meeting you at some point. And thank you all for showing up and taking the time for this call.
Okay, I see some hands up. Let's take at least one or two questions. Hey, Evan, what's on your mind?
So, Bill, I'm a 30-year entrepreneur, just in many sectors, just sort of venture capital projects, but not just from a capital side. I mean, I've owned and operated businesses in several sectors. How many people do you see that it takes to service that those 10 locations on a weekly basis? Is it once a week, twice a week, you think?
Well, the goal is there's no reason why servicing should be necessary more than once a week, except if the inventory is inadequate, which is a good problem to have. But let me put it this way. So as far as dealing with perishable items and whatnot, once a week is enough. And two or three times a week costs money to drive over there and pay someone to do that. Yeah. So I like to do once a week. But it's, but you know, suppose the sales are high enough, you're not stocked, you're running out, and you've got to go more often. Well, say you got to go twice a week. Well, the first thing I would do is I would add another cooler or another more shelving, right. And I would add more inventory so that I could go back to once a week. And every time it steps up, I go back and add more inventory. Mostly once a week, sometimes twice a week, and allow for adapting to the supply and demand.
Mm-hmm. I see. I got you. Okay. Well, then that's not even a full-time employee.
No, and it's like an hour a location. An hour per week per location is about all it takes.
Yeah.
I mean, that counting driving time and servicing and saying hi to people that are hanging out and all that, about an hour.
Yeah.
Depends on how much they talk.
Exactly.
It's good for business anyway, right? That's a good time. That's a good time to ask for referrals. And who, you know, anybody that works in another company that would like one of these in their break room? Because everybody knows somebody. We get most of our locations by asking for referrals. Asking for them.
Okay.
We're giving them too, but as you know, asking for them is smart. Let me digress just a little bit on that subject because a lot of people aren't thinking ahead this way. So. Here's the way it's going to evolve. When we go to get locations, a lot of businesses, I mean, if they contact us and they're dissatisfied with their current service, so they have no service, that's different. But if we're contacting them and they have vending machines and maybe they don't like them, but at least they have something, right? So we don't ask them to take out their vending machines. We just put in the market right alongside. And the reason for that is, if we ask them to do that, it's a harder decision because they've got a known quantity, they got something, and now they're asking us to come in. They don't know if we're going to sell it and service it or if they're going to like it or anything.
Yeah.
And we already know from experience it's going to happen. If we put a market mix of vending machines, nobody will buy anything out of the vending machines anymore. Even if we sell the same stuff, they won't buy it because it's more pleasant. They can pick it up. They can look at the fresh, read the ingredients, look at the freshness date. And we can sell more, better value, size packaging, and more options. You can't put things, you know, in a vending machine that has to fit in the coil, right? And now we're going to have salads and things that they don't have in the vending machine, too. So they just get in the habit of using the market. So even if we didn't do anything in a short amount of time, the operator would take the machine out because all of a sudden they're not making money anymore. So out it goes. And if that didn't happen, the location would boot them because they don't need it. And then as soon as that happens, now there's more square footage in the break room, which sometimes that's an issue. So when that happens, now we got room to add another cooler or another shelving or whatever. Now, another thing that can happen, if you're with me so far, I want to share on the next progression.
Yeah.
So the next thing is very often they have some kind of office coffee service. They typically provide coffee and tea free to employees. Right? And sometimes it's provided by an office coffee service. Well, that's a whole industry in itself, and those guys don't do vending or markets. And we're already there. So if we want, we can expand and offer coffee service. So to do that, that involves – and I don't want you to be overthinking this and thinking, well, you don't need to do that now. But down the road, this is what's going to happen. You might want to consider offering that. They might even ask you. But even if they don't, and that's just a simple matter of we put in commercial quality brewers, and we don't use the kind with grounds they have to dump out. Nobody wants to deal with that. We can use K-cups that are in a plumbed machine, but what I prefer is a commercial brewer that's got internal pods where the trash is kept internal and there's no plastic waste. It's more green. They can't steal them and take them home and blah, blah, blah. So with that concept, and this is a progression. You're going to be maybe surprised with what I get to next. So with that concept, the office is going to probably say, well, we'll provide the coffee and tea. So now you're just providing it, and they're not paying for that with the app. They're just taking coffee and tea. And then once a month or twice a month, you bill the office for coffee and tea. So now you're billing them at retail, and you got paid from them. That's easy. No problem, right? Well, they're already doing that. So another progression is very often if you suggest it to them, they'll subsidize certain products, and this increases sales. Like If you were an employer, and am I going too fast here? I know you're sharp.
No,
and you like information. So.
No, I'm completely with you, 100%.
Okay, cool. So the next thing that happens is that the next thing I would suggest you consider is it's better naturally for them to keep their employees on site than having them go out for lunch, for example. They're going to, maybe get stuck in traffic, get back late, eat too many carbs, have a drink or two when they probably shouldn't. They come back lethargic, unproductive in the afternoon and all this. And they maybe an hour or half an hour late getting back. There's so many reasons, right? The market alone just, in essence, just keeps them there anyway. But on top of that, you would rather they eat healthy food. So what if, say, a salad's $8 or $10, really nice salad with chicken, cranberry, bacon, or something. There's certain healthy items like that. You'd rather eat that than three Snickers bars or some other junk, which is also going to be there because we sell what people buy, right? We just sell what they want. Not our job to force anything on them. But the business will often subsidize the healthy product. So you could, instead of selling the salad for $8 or $10, you sell it for $4 or $5. Now it's not only does it fresh salad, but it's also low price. And they're going like, wow, I can have a salad for $4 or $5. I'm not going anywhere. And then you build a business. You add that to the bill, coffee and salads, maybe sandwiches and wraps and other things.
I'll take 30 seconds and tell you something about me. So I don't drink.
Right.
I train. I eat healthy. I eat clean most of the time, been largely because I cook my own meals. But one of the things that I want to do before I leave this earth is give the consumer a healthy alternative to these fast food joints. So
right.
It's a philosophical thing for me. I've spent my entire career doing oil and gas and alternative fuels and water reclamation, all these different, projects, telecommunications and all this stuff. And that's all just widgets, right? I want to do something that I'm passionate about, and I'm passionate about helping people have healthy alternatives to fast food joints. So to me, if the business were in the right demographic, it would be big for me to offer that initially. Hey, give your, let's help your employees get some healthy alternatives to the burger joint down the street.
Absolutely. That's what we're all about. Well, moving on.
I want you to start in a way that's solid and secure and learn that it really works like we say it's going to work, and then see the money. And then expand out of your own enthusiasm and knowing where expansion is just a no-brainer, and you're just rolling out, duplicating what you already know. So even though you could start with 40, 50, or 100, I would suggest you probably not start with more than 20.
I can go and buy operating restaurants for $100K that are throwing off $500K gross, And so I kind of look at now that the net's not near what we're talking about here, you got a whole slew of employee problems, that you're having to deal with,
mm-hmm. Right?
And other things. So that's why I got so excited about this. That I'm sitting there watching the timer on your conversation, which I knew was mandatory. When that thing got to a minute 15, I was on the phone. I'm pretty excited about it.
Well, I'm glad you see the big picture. I am too. Yeah. We're so excited.
I'm excited for you.
I have to reel myself in all the time because I tend to get excited and then get on a rant. But I kept the leash on myself today.
The opportunity is massive.
The main thing is just to get started. Once you're started, then you can scale it. And it's just whatever makes sense. Duplicate it, replicate it, scale it. Well, I'm glad you see the big picture. That's what I mean by the more you know, the better it gets. The more we get into it, you're going to find things you didn't know. It's just going to be better than you thought.
Yeah, well, I like that you're really building the brand. And that book is going to bring some serious brand recognition, which is fantastic. Let's just blow this up. I'll forego the whole restaurant concept, and we'll just blow this thing up. Yeah, well, I'm excited about it. I want to get going.
Well, that's great. Welcome to the Healthy Smart Mart family, my friend. We'll do everything possible to help you get off to a fast start and develop a tremendous income stream for you.
Okay, cool, guys. Well, have a good evening, and
yes,
I'll
be talking to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thanks, brother. Great chatting with you.
All right, let's wrap it up there. We're running a little long, So it's been great chatting this evening. Thank you all for your participation. I encourage you all to get back with your rep, get your questions answered, have a conversation, and give it some careful consideration. It's exciting. We'd love to welcome you to the Healthy Smart Mart family and to the Live Free Fellowship. And it is a fellowship of those of us who strive to live free and prosper. Talk with you soon, my friends.